Amen. Let's pray over this offering. Thank you, Father God, for the good things that you give us so that we can give. Father, we lift this offering up before you. We ask you to take this seed, make it very, very fruitful. Cause souls to come into your kingdom as a result of the gifts that we sow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whole thing's going to be off. It's all about communion, so if you guys want to just relax a little bit. We're going to do communion as the whole service today. If that's a problem, then you'll get over it. When we talk about communion, there are so many times that we get into communion, and no, I haven't released children because I figure communion ought to be a family thing.
Amen.
We ought to do it together as family, and so I want you to just encourage your children to be part of this morning. So we'll celebrate together. But as we celebrate communion together, I want to dig into the Word. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. It's on. Tell them back there, turn it up. It's not very often we get a complaint, it's not loud enough, Jim. Oh. Tracy's being a diligent student, just in case you're wondering. Ephesians chapter 5. I know it's in my Bible here somewhere. There we go. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now he's talking about you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
He washes his bride. It's not my stomach. I'll wait till you guys tell me we're good to go. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 5, as he's speaking to us about sanctification and cleansing, we don't often hear about that in church today. I mean, it's almost as if sanctification has become a doctrine of the past, and it's not something that we should have to deal with today, because after all, we're enlightened. We're educated. But I'm going to tell you what, you can be as enlightened and educated as you want. If you're not sanctified, you ain't making it.
That's right.
Sanctification is something that God has called for from the very beginning. Sanctification is that cleansing, that purifying, that preparation, if you will. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about the husband and the wife, and he's talking about how the bride is cleansed and purified and made ready. How many of you here have been to a wedding or two? How many of you know that when the time comes that the bride is getting ready for the wedding, nobody ever questions that it's going to be a big investment? I'm not just talking about the wedding itself. I'm not just talking about the gown. I'm talking about the amount of time that it takes for a woman to get ready to get married is just unbelievable. But, listen, we get off easy. In some cultures, it takes days of preparation. Just the bathing takes a full day in some cultures. I mean, either that girl was really dirty, or they're doing something different than we do. Because 10 minutes and the shower's over. But then, after the bath, then there's the hair and the nails and everything else that goes along. And how many of you have seen a bride walk through the door and go, "Wow, she's beautiful." Right? And when she walks through that door, all of the preparation is manifest in her holiness. Because the holiness is the being set apart for a particular purpose. And that day, she is particularly assigned to be the star of the show. She's the one that the whole day centers around. This is all about celebrating the bride and the groom. But the groom normally can just stay home and nobody will notice. She might. There are a few things where the groom has to be included. But the fact of the matter is, that beauty was always there. They're not making her into something that she's not. They're doing what it takes to bring out the reality of what she is. The beauty of the bride is resonant in her. And we just don't normally take the time that it takes to bring that beauty to the forefront that way. I had a friend, he talked to me about his wife. He said, "I have never seen her without her makeup." And I thought, how do you do that? How do you do that? I don't know. It's got to be at least once in a while. His wife literally got up an hour before he did every single day and went to bed an hour after he did every single night so that he would never see her that she wasn't at her best. That's commitment.
Amen. That's crazy.
So we know what her husband sees. If we understand that the beauty is there all the time, that the beauty is already resident, then we can learn to look for it all the time. We can learn to see the things that cause that bride to be beautiful all the time. And in the time that we celebrate her, it's just minimal. I mean, when you stop and think about it, my wife and I have been married this year's, I got to stop and add it all up, 39 years we've been married this year. That's a good thing. It's a really good thing. My mom and dad would have been married 59 years this year. And that excites me to know that is possible, that it's out there in front of me. I look forward to celebrating my 50th anniversary, my 60th anniversary, my 75th anniversary. I'm not working on 100 years of marriage. She might be working on it, but I'm not. My dad used to tell my mom all the time at the 50th anniversary he was going to reevaluate, see whether or not it was working. Before he was a Christian, he used to say things like, "Well, when she turns 40, I'm trading her in for 220s. And she said, "Why would you want twice as much trouble?" The bride is someone that we, when we picture the wedding ceremony, being that beautiful, I mean, just all together. And how many of you know that in weddings, every wedding has issues? Weddings are defined by what goes wrong. I mean, sometimes it's dresses that are pinned together. Sometimes it's dresses that don't fit at all. I had a friend, she said her dress didn't show up at the church until an hour before the wedding. The stress that causes kind of impacts your wedding day. There are times when people don't show up, and that causes whole other issues, especially when it's the groom. But the sanctification process is just that. It's a process. It's not something that just happens. It's something that has to be experienced over the period of preparation. How many of you here took more than a week to plan your wedding? How many of you girls started planning your wedding when you were 6? I believe you. How many of you had a hope chest? Don't worry, Tyler, you don't need one. And the whole point of having a hope chest is? Preparation for the future, right? You're looking forward to the day when you get to take all the stuff out and use it. and turn it into a place where you store your quilts and other such things. As we are thinking about looking to the future, we as the church should be in preparation, constantly in preparation for the wedding that is to come. Amen? Amen? And there's a wedding feast. Everybody say party. There's a party coming that's going to cause every party we've ever experienced to look like we were bored. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be, I mean, if you think you know what over the top is, you haven't even considered what God might be able to do throwing a party.
Amen.
And when He throws the party, only those who are properly prepared are going to get to go. And as the bride, we need to be prepared. But part of that preparation is the washing that goes on ahead of time. Taking the time to be washed in the water of the Word is taking the time to prepare, to be sanctified for His coming and for the wedding that's ahead. The holiness is all about where we're going to. It's about what we're being reserved for. It's a big deal. A very big deal for two people to come together, committed to each other, be faithful before the event, and then continue in their faithfulness after the event. Amen. Our God wants us to be faithful beginning to end. And in our faithfulness, He wants us to stand out as different from everyone else. How many of you know that when the bride walks in, she's not wearing the same dress as her attendants? I mean, she makes them look like they should have stayed home. Because she is gorgeous. And as we look at what God wants to do in us, that's what He wants to bring out in us. He wants to bring out the beauty in us. Well, what's that got to do with communion? Well, just very simply, this is our time of stating again that, number one, we're preparing. We're getting ready. We're not receiving the elements without stopping and thinking about what we're doing. We are, just as it says in 1 Corinthians, examining ourselves. Making sure that if there's anything that needs to be removed from our lives, that we're dealing with it. We're blessed. We get to have communion once a month. In the Catholic Church, we have communion every week. Some churches have communion once a quarter. Some churches, you never know when you're going to have communion. It just is kind of haphazard. They have it when they feel led. A friend of mine used to walk around with a sinker in his pocket. He said, whenever I need to feel led, I just reach in my pocket.
Amen.
From time to time, we need to understand that this is not something we just do by rote. We're not just doing this because it's a tradition. There is an actual reason why we do the things that we do. Amen. And in doing this today, we are stating that we are preparing ourselves. We are cleansing ourselves. We are purifying ourselves. We are the church. Amen. And we are being washed and cleansed and purified. We are sanctified. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, I'm sanctified. Doesn't that sound good? It sounds better with music. So give me some good sanctification music there. Everything sounds more spiritual with music. So, as we look at what the sanctification is about, sanctification is what makes us holy, because the sanctification is with purpose, and the purpose that we are going to is His glory. Amen. A glorious church is shining with His glory, is shining with the glory of the Father God. Be holy because I'm holy, He says. He said, I am set apart to you. You need to be set apart to me. God isn't looking for another bride. He's got us. And He is remaining faithful to us because He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. We can count on His faithfulness. Can He count on ours? We come before the table, and with the table we make a statement, and the statement says, I'm being prepared, I continue to prepare, I am being washed and cleansed and purified, and I'm being faithful. I'm being faithful. How many of you are in a relationship today? Married, dating, whatever. You're in a relationship. How many of you think that faithfulness in the relationship is important?
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen? And that faithfulness needs to be demonstrated. Anybody can claim faithfulness. Anybody can speak about faithfulness. It's the demonstrated faithfulness that really means something. And so with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same way for us. We need to demonstrate our faithfulness. Amen? And in demonstrating our faithfulness, we're doing the things that demonstrate our love for Him. How many of you girls really love it when there's a box of chocolates on the table just for you? My wife has told me, jewelry is always appropriate. No matter the event, jewelry is always appropriate. I've listened. I haven't quite got it yet, but I've listened. How many of you like getting flowers? How come the guys don't put their hands up and you say that? I mean, come on. We like nice stuff too, don't we?
Yeah.
Being prepared, being ready, being washed is so vitally important. When we went to Burkina in January, one of the things that the team learned pretty quick is that you can't see everything that's dirty. Some of the things that you need to be cleansed from are invisible. And it's that way in our lives too sometimes. The contamination that causes the most damage isn't the contamination that's seen. How many of you know that little dirty face can be washed? But those little dirty bugs sometimes need extra power to be removed. Anybody watch The Monsters Inside Me? I don't watch that. That's gross. Gross stuff. But I do everything in my power to make sure that I don't invite any of them in. I've done that once. I don't ever want to do it again. It's no fun. But the thing is, if we don't keep sin out, that invisible bug of sin will do the same thing in our spiritual life that those bugs do in our physical life. It will destroy us. It will corrupt us. It will cause us such contamination that the pain and suffering that follow are something that we cannot overcome by ourselves. We need help for it. Amen?
Amen.
One of the things, Tom's not here, but I could tell on Tom a little bit, and we were there and Tom got so sick and he was laying there and oh man, he was just miserable. And since I had been there, I knew what we were going to have to do. And so we went out and we got a liter of sangria wine. And I told him, every time you can, every chance you get, you drink some of this. It's biblical. The Bible says take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Trust me, it will work. Within 24 hours, you'll be better. And it did work. And then when he felt better, he came out and he said, Pastor Pat, we have a problem. And I thought, good night. After what we've been through the last 2 days, how could we have a problem? And he said, when we get home, you have to tell my mother. And I said, that's okay, I got scripture for it. And he said, yes, but you have to tell my mother. I'm not telling her. It's not coincidental that the symbol for the blood is wine. It has a cleansing power.
Amen.
It will take the sin out of our life. It will kill off that bug that corrupts us if we'll let it. But see, the problem is we've got to be cooperative. It's not enough that we experience it. We've got to be cooperative. We've got to take it and make it ours. We've got to receive all that it is. And that wine that we receive, that grape juice that we receive, is there as a symbol to remind us that the washing, the purifying, the cleansing comes through His blood. And He does the work in us. You cannot remove your own sin. It's impossible. It will not happen. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God. What's the point of all this? Well, the point of all this is that He's making a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How many of you have a china cabinet in your house that you have all your special stuff in? You know, the display stuff. Or maybe you've got a shelf somewhere. A friend of mine has a shelf around her dining room and all these different collector plates. To me, that's just that many more things to dust, but then I'm a guy. Ask me about my gun collection instead. If we have cherished things, we want those cherished things to be valued by other people. That china cabinet is not there just so that we have some place to store stuff. It's there to show the value that we place on things. Yeah, I know that other things get caught in there too, but the fact of the matter is, we have valuable things. One of my grandchildren at one point took their marbles and stuck in the china cabinet. And I said, "What are you doing?" "Well, this is where Grandma puts her special stuff." You see, stuff that's holy gets a special place. Stuff that is set apart. How many of you have special dishes that you use for special occasions? Okay. You have a special place for them? You don't use them every day, right? They're just for special occasions. How many of you have special decorations that you bring out for Christmas? And they have to be stored, and they have to be protected, and every year they have to be brought out, and you have to go through them all, make sure that they're all still good, and the ones that aren't, you get rid of, and the ones that are, you keep, and then you get new ones to add to the old ones, and then you add another tub, and... But they're special things. When we moved into our house, the lady that lived there before us, she decorated for every holiday. And we came in and she had a stroke, and so she had all the decorations from her last holiday were still up. We came in April, and everything was still there from Christmas. And I mean, you could not find a place to sit in the house. There were Christmas dolls and Christmas ornaments and Christmas decorations. And literally every room of the house was just filled. It looked like a Christmas shop, not a Christmas house. And she literally went all out with every holiday that she did. But that meant that every piece of that had to have a place to be stored. And the basement of the house was not, I'm not kidding, floor to ceiling tubs. And she had Easter tubs, and she had Christmas tubs, and she had Thanksgiving tubs. And I mean, she had stacks and stacks of tubs that were holy, dedicated to a particular holiday. Are you holy today? Are you set apart? Are you different? Are you cherished? Because that's who Jesus wants you to be. And He wants you to be like that so that He can put you on display. You're going to be that perfect display of why He loves you. Now, I look in the mirror and think, man, has He got some work to do. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. I don't know about you, but I have issues. I have a whole series that I do on I have issues. Because I have so many issues, it takes weeks to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, that's not what He sees. What He sees is the glorious bride. What He sees is our potential. What He sees is what He's called us to be. And in that, He brings us to the place where He can put us on display through the washing of the water of the Word. We come in and we know that He has given His life for us. He's given everything that He has for us. He's caused us to rise into the place of honor because of the sacrifice that He's made. And communion is all about what He did for us. But it's also all about what He expects us to do for Him. He's given His body for us. What should we do? In total. You give your body because it's no longer your own. You're giving it to Him to use as He wishes. How many of you know that Jesus needs some representatives in the earth?
Amen.
He needs a representative in your workplace. He needs a representative at Walmart.
Amen.
At Giant Eagle, at CVS, at Rite Aid. Jesus needs a representative in the trout stream. Don't clear your throat like that, Billy Joe. Makes me think you don't agree. Jesus needs people to accomplish His will in the earth. And the people that He needs are us. And as we step up and become what He wants us to be, we step up into the destiny that He has for us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, that the whole earth groans in eager expectation, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. The whole earth. Well, I like what one translation says. The whole earth is standing on tiptoes, looking for the real sons of God. A sense of anticipation is there. One of my friends said, he put his own little translation together and he said, the earth is sitting on the edge of its seat, waiting for the curtain to be pulled and the sons of God to be revealed. Well, how many of you know that we're not talking about the rapture? We're talking about today. We're talking about the world today is looking for you. They're looking for the real deal. They're looking for somebody who's going to be different than everybody else. Now, when we talk about holiness, holiness is not a dress code. I don't care whether you have suspenders or don't have suspenders, whether you wear a coffee filter on your head or don't wear a coffee filter on your head. That's not what this is about. If that's the way you express holiness, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. However, that will not make you holy. What makes you holy is what goes on the inside. Amen? But the whole world is looking for the real deal. And when religion comes along, they recognize that it's not the real deal. And they really don't want any part of it. When we come out and we aren't really dressed different than somebody else. One of the biggest compliments I ever get is, you don't look like a pastor. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, if they say you don't sound like a pastor, that's a whole different issue. I'm a little concerned then. You ever have somebody quote you and use profanity that you would never use? Somebody did that one day. They said, well, he said, and I happened to be where I was within earshot, and they went down through this list of expletives, and I tapped them on the shoulder, and I said, I never said that. Well, you know what I mean. And I said, well, if you're going to quote me, get it right. I don't use language like that. And they got real red, and they apologized, to the person they were talking to. Said, he doesn't talk like that. I talk like that. And I said, but we can cure that problem too.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We change our behavior. We change our language. We change our appearance, not because we have to, but because we change. Amen? We're different than we used to be. And that difference manifests where all can see it. And the world is looking for the real deal. Look at the person next to you and say,
it's time
to be the real deal. God sends out an announcement and invites everybody to come to the wedding. It's kind of a strange wedding, though, because He's inviting everybody to be the bride. But the invitation goes out to all. The question is, will we respond? Communion is our chance to say once again, I accept the invitation. I receive what Jesus did for me. Today, as we receive the elements of communion, I want to ask you to be serious about it. To take serious the things that God is doing in you. To receive forgiveness. To receive the cleansing, to receive the power, to receive the anointing, to receive the healing, to receive all that He is in you so that you can have all that He is flowing from you and be a witness to the world around us. Amen? Can I have some servers, please? The Apostle Paul had celebrated Passover all of his life. But he didn't get it. He didn't understand until Jesus took him and set him apart. Took him out and gave him revelation, gave him personal instruction, washed him with the water of the Word. And then he came back and he gave us the scripture that we use each time that we come together for communion. He said, "That which I have received from the Lord, I've given unto you." That on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks. Paul was sharing that in this time of communion, Jesus lifted up the bread and he said, "This is my body which was broken for you. This is for you." He said, "Take it and eat all of it." Jesus, knowing that it was his body, knowing that it would be ripped and torn and abused, lifted it up and gave thanks. Jesus thanked the Father for the opportunity to be able to be broken for you. Let's do now what he did and lift it before him and give thanks. Father God, we give you thanks. Thank you for the love that sent your Son Jesus to be with us. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to take the beating, the scourging, the ridicule, the abuse, so that we could have the healing and the wholeness that comes with it. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice of your body on that tree. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it real to us as we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul again is writing and he says, Jesus told him specifically that after that meal was completed, that he took that third cup, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup, the cup of redemption, is the new covenant in my blood." The blood that would pour down from his body the next day. The blood that would be splattered over all of those who had participated in his passion. The same blood that washes away our sin. He said, this blood is the new covenant. It's the better covenant. This blood is for you. And the Bible says once again that he took it and he lifted it up and he gave thanks. So let's do the same. Father God, we give you thanks. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that is a commitment to everlasting faithfulness, that he would never leave us and never forsake us. Thank you for the blood that transforms our lives, washing all sin away, making us a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We lift it up before you and we say thank you. For us being the beneficiary of this covenant. We receive it now and we drink it all in the anticipation that the full manifestation of its promise will be poured out to us. In Jesus' name, amen.